99.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. 3:05 on the clock, and it is live time. People, we're live in the afternoon. Got your host, James. I am joined by my partner in production and sports, Mr. Seth Habhager.
Good afternoon, everyone. I had to think about that real quick.
Yep. Me too. It needed a second. Good morning, afternoon.
Good afternoon.
More afternoon. That's what I'm going with now. Okay.
More afternoon.
Good more afternoon, everyone. Bring your sports thoughts and feelings to us. We want to hear from you. 424-2600. Plenty to talk about over the sports weekend. You want to talk about football, college football, basketball, whatever is on your mind, bring it to us. 424-2600.
Yeah.
As far as Seth and I are concerned, we're still, as much as we've been enjoying the football season and taking it in, I do think that we have to start our show with a bit of breaking news in the baseball sector.
Okay.
Because for those that did not see this, the AP posted this just about an hour or so ago. Republicans have proposed a $614 million in public funds for the Brewer Stadium upgrades. Under the proposal, the state would give the team $60.8 million next fiscal year and up to $20 million each year after that through the 45-46 season. That's 2045-2046, just in case you didn't catch that.
Whoa!
The city of Milwaukee would contribute a total of $202 million, and the Milwaukee County would kick in another $135 by 2050. The team would contribute about $100 million and extend its lease at American Family Field through 2050. What does all this mean? If this all goes through, it means that you're keeping your team. Like that's basically if the numbers started to screw around, you know, in your head and everything, like what's he talking about? Basically, this is a move to keep your team, and it's probably the best move that's been proposed so far.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to be one of those people. I totally stand behind like what the city of Oakland did. Mm-hmm. They were basically blackmailed by the owners. They said, no, we're going to move unless you pony up. And they said, nope,
yeah,
we're not going to do it. Hey, I got all respect in the world. They said, we need it for other things. This money, we can't use it for that. We need it for other things. Now, each city is different. Each situation is different. And so I can see how this proposal would be, you know, be beneficial. Of course, now everyone has to be on board on it. That's the big thing, not just the state, but the county, and then of course the city of Milwaukee. So we'll see what happens. But you know what the amazing thing is, Miller Park,
yeah,
MFM Field,
it's fine,
whatever.
Yeah,
it's what 20 years old. That's it.
It's
only 20
it's
years
not that
old.
I've been all taking in as much Baltimore Orioles as I can, and it's interesting to me how many times I've been able to catch little bits of games. Mm-hmm. In almost every other game, I hear them talking about Camden Yards needing an upgrade. And it seems like it was yesterday that was the most beautiful ballpark in all of the world, and how quickly that changes, to your point. And to the point of this whole entire, you know, where this debate and where we're at right now. Should the city pony up? Should the team pony up, et cetera? And back and forth we go with this. And you get to a place like this where I think that adults understood we were going to get to. I think people looking for headlines were always about, you're going to lose your team.
Ah! Yeah, right.
You know, trying to scare people at everything. I don't think that was ever going to – I never saw that as the case necessarily.
Not really.
But definitely what I saw this more as an opportunity to kind of talk about the idea of how much these owners can hold a fan base hostage. And I'm not saying this happened with the Brewers, but it definitely happened with Oakland.
Yeah.
And it certainly happened with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. For our whole lives, it happened with the Raiders up until they finally moved to Vegas here.
Yeah.
We'll see how long they stay there. Quick bet with the audience. Who stays in their current home longer? Deion Sanders in Colorado or the Raiders in Las Vegas? 424-2600. Place your bets, everybody.
We get in trouble. No.
We're
not bookies. Just want to say that. We're not bookies.
We're not bookies. All right. That was another life. That was a long time ago. For me, I'm the person who, as a kid, thought that, oh, I can love my sports team like I love my family.
Mm-hmm.
I can have the loyalty that they have. I had this, as old as I was as a young kid, I had this idea that this team had a loyalty to me like I had to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one morning I woke up and heard the name Gary Bears. And I heard the McCaskies, because they were so bent out of shape about not getting this little upgrade or whatever to Soldier Field, they were threatening the idea of moving the Bears to Gary, Indiana. And I lost it. I go running to my dad. I'm like, Dad, what are we going to lose the Bears and all this stuff and everything? And he's laughing at me. He's like, Jimmy, I ain't going to move the team. Like, this is a bluff. It's a bluff.
Yeah. Otherwise, they wouldn't have used Gary, Indiana.
Like, he might as well have said, like, Albuquerque. Like, yeah, like, hey, what are you doing? But for one, that left a very bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
And it woke me up right away. That this team has no more loyalty to its players or to me than it does to anybody. It's loyalty, like every other franchise, and I'm sorry, Green Bay included.
Yep.
They have loyalty to one thing, the mighty dollar.
Yep.
And here we have another example with the Milwaukee situation.
Yep.
And I don't know the perfect answer to this because as a kid, again, I thought perfect answer, the Green Bay Packers. They can't move that team. The shareholders own that team and et cetera, and everything. And then I grow up and I realize that there are a billion shareholders.
Yeah.
And
they don't really have a voice.
That team isn't going to move, certainly. But they are beholden to the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And they do have to keep the lights on. And there's a reason that the smallest franchise in all the sports has been able to survive. Even all the with the evolution and the growth of all the other things going on around it, they are run smart.
Yep.
I don't know what this means for the future of like MLB teams or for smaller market teams, but it doesn't set the best precedent. I do think though that if you're in the short term, if you're a Brewer fan, you got to feel good about this. If you're a Milwaukee fan, I think you got to feel good about this. This is going to hopefully be able to take some of that distraction away. You can just focus on playoff baseball and the I don't know what Brewers have been pulling off for lately.
Yeah. They've been playing well. They have been playing. The last couple of several years, they've been playing. They're almost a perennial contender now. Mm. The Brewers are, and I never thought I would say that. I mean, considering where they came from. But you know, real quick, back to the stadium thing. The owner, Mark Attanasio, I just looked it up. He has, at least as of 2021, was worth $700 million. Now, he's the principal owner. He's not the only owner. There's a group. Almost all baseball teams or sports franchises are owned by a group. Mm-hmm. Okay, if they could afford to do it if they wanted to.
Oh yeah.
If they pooled their resources, it's not like they're not getting anything back. They're just putting stuff into the players and the team, and it's like, oh, that's it. That's gone money.
No.
James has said it a million times. These guys are not hurting. They're making money off of this stuff. If you can't make money off a sports franchise, you're bad. You're a bad business person.
The Estancia, the Cohens, the owners, they got where they did because they're smart at what they do usually.
Yep.
And a lot of times they are, let's be honest, they have a silver spoon they're born with. But even when they're not, you know, they're still good at what they do. And they're also as competitive as Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a chip on their shoulder the size of Wyoming. And the idea of losing money or being bad at business is like the idea of him going 0-16.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come out and say that I can't, we're barely making
poverty,
ends meet.
Right? Yeah.
That not only says to me that they're bad at business, but they are just. I mean, they're not even trying to lie to us. Like, well,
right, exactly.
they're not even like trying or anything. It's as lame as it could get.
We know it's not true. Yeah. I mean, they keep telling us these things. So yeah, it's because they can. That's why they do it. That's why they want to get public money because they can. They can do it. They can extract that money from whatever community they're in. So, I mean, the Dodgers, I think, is like the only franchise in baseball, I'm not sure about other sports, that actually own their stadium.
Yeah.
The Dodgers actually do, and it's all private. But you know how much money they make off of that thing? On the parking alone? I mean, you want good business. Hey, you know, come on. Dodger Stadium.
When I moved out to California, I was like, I got to take in a Dodger game. I want to hear Vin Scully in person. You know, I want to be in the stadium when he's talking and everything. And this is early aughts. Mm-hmm. This is early 2000s. And I was laughed at. I was laughed at that me and my stand-up comedian roommate, we'd be able to afford, Dodger tickets or anything. He's like, we might be able to tailgate. See, we might be able to tailgate because the parking lot is so jam-packed with people.
Mm-hmm.
That they even oftentimes will sell like side viewing areas off of there and stuff. It's crazy.
Wow, it's crazy.
Let's take a look at the Brewers right now.
Okay.
I want to say, so the Brewers, looking at the standings, of course, your Brewers are in first place. Got a 6.5 game lead, way over the Cubs. Quick side note. And if this doesn't get you talking, I don't know what will. Because I've been putting this off for weeks, wanting to do this. I don't listen to a lot of radio. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of time to. But when I do, I like a lot of you out there, I will flip a little bit. Mm-hmm. I listen to our main stations here, of course, and I've made it on. I'm on record. I love 89.9. I root for those guys mm-hmm. in that college station there. That's the future of our industry. I'm not going to not root for them or anything. But every once in a while, I'll flip on the ESPN outlet. And just catch what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't listen to a lot of Bill Michaels anymore. I used to when I first was out there and there weren't as many voices and everything. What happened? When did he get so whiny?
Oh, jeez.
I know I'm taking shots and I'm asking for it here. That's an icon in this state. I understand that.
Oh.
But look, if he can't, if he's too big to take it, to take any, you know, criticism, then yeah. I don't think you belong in this industry.
No.
But I can't listen to him anymore. I don't care if he talks bad about Chicago or anything like that. Half the time he doesn't sound like he knows. He sounds like he's in a bubble or something, or he only goes to certain streets or what have you. But overall, so dang whiny. Like I thought you were the elder statesman around here, man. I thought you were the guy that kind of set the bar for talking sports in this state, and he's turned into Bill Maher. Like he's I don't get it.
Bill Maher sports.
For me, focusing on the Brewers. And
do you want to? Is that what people want to listen to?
I'm wondering.
That's the question.
As I was saying it out loud, I'm like, wait a minute. Is he just playing into the market, and I just don't even realize it? Not the market. I don't mean the Wisconsin market. I mean the market in general nowadays. Yeah. The way you get likes, the way you get streams, and all that is being whiny and controversial and taking shots.
You can't
just root for your team anymore.
No.
We're supposed to come on the air and badmouth the other team and make a quick headline and take have some hot take and et cetera, et cetera. Like, you can get somebody else to do that.
I'm not interested in that. We're in the minority here, but I'm with you, man. I think that's dumb.
I'll say we got Mike Clemens on with us once a week now, and Mike doesn't do that. Mike seems to be able to cover talk game and not have to do that. So, I mean, I don't think it's what the audience wants, but if it is, 424-2600. Please tell me.
Maybe we should be doing that. I don't know. Should we?
No. I can try to be more whiny. I don't know. I can't do that. That's not my thing.
You're whiny,
I can't be whiny. I can't do it. I wanted to get back to the Brewers. They are 6.5 games up over the Cubs. It looks like that one is decided.
Pretty much, yeah.
Especially you're looking at what they got ahead here. The Brewers got the games remaining. They got 13 left, 4 against St. Louis, 3 against Miami, 2 more against St. Louis, and then they wrap up with the Cubs. Anything can happen. It's baseball.
Yep.
But you got to feel pretty good again for other news for the Brewers. Yep. There you go. Your second bit of good news if you're a Brewer fan out there. I think looking at that schedule. And if you're the Brewers, these are teams you want to beat going into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Miss me with St. Louis's record. It always is going to feel good to beat the St. Louis Cardinals.
100%.
The Cardinals could be 0-60. They could be putting 4 guys out there, and you're still going to be bragging about beating them. I know I would be. I know I will be. They're always going to feel good. That's a momentum builder. Miami is a nice up-and-coming team.
Wow. What they did to Atlanta this weekend? Oh, my gosh. And they had a tough time with Atlanta all year, but, man, they made a statement. With what they did. Jazz Chisholm, Grand Slams in back-to-back games.
Insane.
Their first Grand Slam this year. I mean, come on.
If I like him a lot. Mm-hmm. I want him to stop trying to hit home runs every time he's up the bat, though. That's not helping.
He stole 3 bases in the game the other day. That's what he should be doing.
That's why I want him on base more. Yeah. I want him stealing more. Mm-hmm. Just a nice game, way to go into the playoffs here if you were the Brewers. I want to know how you guys are feeling about this because I'm living vicariously through the Brewer fans in my life. All my brother and my daughter, everybody, they're diehard Brewer fans, and I'm living vicariously through them. I'm excited for this team. And I don't know. Here's my other side question. Can you do this, sports fans out there? Because I feel like I'm able to do this, and I don't even have that much bandwidth. I'm with one eye watching the baseball season mm-hmm. and at the same time keeping an eye on what's going on with football as it's building. I'm able to do both. Mm-hmm. Now, you ask me about every single team in college football, it's going to get a little tougher. but for the most part, I'm watching. As much as I'm living vicariously through the Brewers, I'm really enjoying what's happening in Baltimore. And I really am enjoying what's happening for that franchise and for that fan base. And so I've been paying a little attention to that, too. And while at the same time watching the NFL season where there's I was going to bring this up at the halfway mark, but I'll just go to it right now.
All right.
What are the headlines? Like, after Aaron Rodgers goes down, like, I feel like I'm still, I don't know. I feel like I'm still waiting for the excitement of the NFL season to kick off. It feels like half these teams are still in the preseason mode. And because of injuries, you don't know what a full team is yet.
Yeah.
Buffalo is a great example, that defense. That defense is solid. Everybody has it as a top five, top three defense. But they're missing Von Miller. They're missing a defensive back here. They're, so all of a sudden, it's like, well, now we don't expect that to them to be that. But we went into the we went into this knowing that he was going to be there.
There was even a big comeback yesterday, the Giants against the Cardinals. Yeah. But it was against the Cardinals. That's the thing. Yeah. That's like, who cares, you know? Wow, the Giants won, finally. They scored some points, you know?
Even a game like the Miami game last night with New England, I got to catch a bit of the third, fourth quarter of that with Chris. I was watching. He stopped by, and we're watching a bit of it. We actually got to see a block punt. It was wicked. It was
awesome. You don't see that very much anymore, at least in the NFL.
Shout out. Nobody does this anymore. Shout out to cable. I was... Chris and I are coming into the room, and we miss it. My dad's watching the game, too. And my dad goes, Jimmy, you got to see this play. Everybody's going to be doing it. The commentator was even saying so. I'm like, all right. Oh, he missed it. Darn it. Oh, wait. We can rewind. And rewind and watch it over and over again.
Oh, bless your DVR.
Yes, yes. I love it. And my dad was right. They are everybody's going to be parroting that. He had a guy. I didn't even. I watch it. And I'm like, wait a minute. They can do that? You can have a guy in motion on special teams?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Yeah, cool.
Why is not more people doing this?
That's interesting. Was it like a gentleman's agreement or maybe something like that?
I don't know. But
I don't know.
Leave it to Bill Belichick to say agreement off.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm losing.
I'm gonna go. Yep.
No more gentleman's agreement for me. I've started the. I don't. I've got a taste of losing, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
We're watching some of that, and it was a kind of. And Miami's maybe the most exciting offense in football. Mm-hmm. And granted, they're playing New England, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, defensive coach there is.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna find out ways to slow Tyreek Hill in that game down. Even with that, it was a really kind of boring game. I haven't been that excited by the season so far. There are some storylines here and there that have been okay. But otherwise, it really hasn't been like nobody to me has come out and said, well, that's a team to beat.
Yeah, like a statement, right? Yeah.
Like I keep hearing because if you listen to 2 seconds of the Mouse Network, they're going to bleed your ears with Dallas talk because they can't talk about New York teams. So they talk about Dallas. And Dallas is good. That's a great defense. I would take Micah Parsons maybe with my first pick. Even if you just said offense and defense, I might take him with my first pick. But does anybody really believe that the Cowboys are that big of contenders? I mean, I gotta see them win a playoff game before I even agree to that.
Well,
let alone a week two.
Because it really seems like they're just trying to do something. They're trying to hype up something, and that's what they have right now. Is wow, Dallas won their first two games. Woohoo! Yeah. You know. And, you know, so you got San Francisco, who has won two games, but yesterday wasn't that great. I mean, they almost got beat by the Rams, who shown some life this year, which is nice, considering, cool. But again, there's no domination there. And, you know.
I think, so I brought this up with Chris. Like a lot of things that I'll test it out on him or my dad or somebody before I bring it to the audience and stuff. And a lot of our listeners, they get a lot of this previews before we actually go live with some of these things. I asked Chris, like, you know, what is the biggest storyline to him right now? What is the biggest storyline going into the season, even if he wanted to go that far? And certainly Aaron Rodgers' talk was some of that.
Of course.
But immediately after, even before that, I should say, what he said was the sale of the Commanders. And Daniel Snyder being taken out of the league. And he thought that was the biggest story. And I wanted to come back at it at first. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. No, that is a really, really, really big story, if not the biggest story. I counter that with what happened with the Aaron Rodgers situation and what recently the Players Association pushed forward. And that is the idea of natural grass in all stadiums. This, to me, could be not only the biggest story in the whole NFL season, and certainly in the 2024 season.
Yep.
It could be, to me, the thing that Aaron Rodgers, a bigger part of his legacy, one of the bigger parts of his legacy could be this, because they've had enough.
Yep.
And they finally, they lost their biggest storyline. Their biggest storyline is gone.
Four snaps. Dead. Gone.
You got Adam Schefter trying to get people to listen to the possibility of Aaron Rodgers returning this season.
What?
Like, they're pushing this narrative so hard right now, just in the hopes that people will still care about the Jets. So they have been cost more than they could count right now. There is no way to fathom how much money everybody, the Jets, the NFL, your everyday fans going to the Jets games, how much money is going to be lost because of this. Mm-hmm. How many number 12 jerseys are gone right now because of this. And it's all because how greedy these owners are.
Mm-hmm.
Could this injury have happened on natural grass? Absolutely, of course.
Sure.
Nobody's arguing that. But the likelihood of it happening in that stadium, on that grass, when you've already had two games, three concerts, et cetera, on that field, when you have all this, and I'm saying this as a guy who grew up watching Soldier Field. I think I know a little bit of what I'm talking about when it comes to bad fields. I'm not talking about Justin. who actually isn't that bad. It just was a decent joke, and I had to go with it.
It was pretty good, yeah.
And I'm in the market where you guys are going to eat that stuff up, so of course I'll do it. I'm always going to try to make you laugh.
You feel bad.
Even at my own expense.
Yeah.
I think this is the big game changer. This could be the thing that going forward, these injuries and this kind of stuff, when this happens, we're used to this happen. Star player goes down in the first game of the season. I will never forget, as long as I live, Randall Cunningham, first game of the season, it's against the Green Bay Packers, and he's with the Eagles, and I'm so excited. He's my favorite player in all of football, and he's in my market, so I get to see the game.
Right.
And I think it was like a play or two into the game, maybe it was in the first quarter even, goes down with an injury, done for the season.
I remember that,
We've seen this story plenty of times, but not with this at stake, and not with this many eyeballs, and not with this guy. Mm-hmm. They've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
The owners are so they are in the running for most greedy human beings on the planet. That's how greedy NFL owners are.
Yes.
When you got in a world where we live with like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and these kind of people, NFL owners are still some of the most greedy there is.
Mm-hmm.
They will have a Friday night high school game on a field where they got a playoff game that Saturday or Sunday, just to get that dollar, just to get it.
Wow.
So I think that they're going to be put in a position where you've also got a time and age where what's the number one storyline with the NFL? Player safety, player safety, player safety. They just cram it down our throats. Here's an extra week. We're going to get rid of 2 weeks of exhibition weeks, and we're going to add a regular season game. But player safety, player safety, player safety. Don't look at Tua last year. Don't look at Tua. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Player safety, player safety. Aaron Rodgers goes down two seconds into the NFL season. Player safety. Wait a second. We didn't look at the field, did we?
No.
Whose job was it to look at the field? We were focused on the head.
Oh, wait. We don't have a grounds crew. Check it.
You would have thought the NFL, the Super Bowl would have done this for us. How bad that Super Bowl was.
Mm-hmm.
How bad the field was. We just forgot about that.
Yeah.
We just moved on.
It was ugly.
Just give me more football. That's all we care about. What it's going to take for this to happen, it's not enough for the players. We as fans got to get behind this.
I think so.
We as fans, it's got to matter to us.
Yeah.
We've got to put our money where our mouth is. If you don't care about player safety, then by all means, keep on just doing what you're doing.
Right.
But if you do give a dang, which I would think you would.
I would hope so.
Well, if you love football, you should care about the player safety, for one, just as being a decent damn human being.
First of all.
But, okay, if you want to look at the economics of this and the logistics of it, if you love football, the future of football depends on this.
Yeah.
Because mamas ain't going to let their boys play football
if
there is no safety involved.
Or you're not going to be able to see the players you want to see.
Yes.
If you go to a game, like the big stars, you know, it's caused all kinds of problems in the NBA with load management recently.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, that's just... I mean, this does not do the NFL any good to lose Aaron Rodgers in four snaps into a season.
Yeah.
It doesn't. So
I don't think anybody wins in this. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, that's why I think the players are absolutely right. If they had a stronger union, they could probably push a little harder. But I think they're right. I think they need to do it, and they need to spend some money, and they need to invest in these fields, the grass fields.
I don't think anybody wins with him going down, because even the people that were rooting against him, what did you really want? You didn't want Aaron going out and being injured. You wanted him to go 0-16.
Yeah, throw 100 interceptions, right? Yeah, yeah.
To the Packer fans that were going to get a first-round pick out of this, that's gone. That ain't happening now. Now you got a second-rounder that's coming. Yep. So nobody really wins with this. I just realized something, though, in that interaction we just had. I would never be able to work for ESPN. Or Fox or anything like that. I just apologize to you when I cut you off. That's not sports
you don't
talk
do that,
radio.
Man.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be talking over you and whining and all that.
No one can understand what anyone is saying.
Oh,
right?
What am I doing? I'm doing the show all wrong. You know, I need a break. I gotta do some halftime adjustments here and everything.
All right.
We'll come back. We'll talk high school sports, and Seth and I will take opposite opinions on everything going forward, and we'll have some hot takes for you, everybody. Or more importantly, we'll take your phone calls. 424-2600. Join us here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers here on WFHR, proudly brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Call up 424-2600. This is a sports show. We take your thoughts and feelings, and we have fun talking about them. Whatever you want to talk about, bring it to us. Oh, yeah, there's other sports shows, but you're not going to be able to get through, or you're going to wait online for like 20 hours. Here, you can come in right away.
Who wants to listen to Pat McAfee anyway? Come on.
I really don't. I can't. No. I am on the outs on that one. I am one of the few people. I had nothing against Pat McAfee. Mm-hmm. Make your money, sir. Go ahead and sell out your audience all you want, I guess. But this has never done it for me.
No, not me either.
Let's go ahead and take this phone call. Good morning. Good afternoon. You're on the show. Is that your coach?
That's me.
Hey, we got a little bit of a repeat or a little bit of an echo here in the background. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Coach Paul Peckham joining us right now. You're Wisconsin Rapids River Kings head coach. Coach, I was hoping you'd be able to join us. How's it going, and how was the festivities the last couple of days?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. The guys got a chance to showcase a little bit about what we can do, and the fans seemed to enjoy it, so it was a good showing. We had a lot of fans come out, so that was great. You know, we were excited about it.
The annual blue-white game took place with our River Kings over the weekend, and always a nice opportunity for the fan base and for the players to get to know each other. That was a lot of fun. A coach invited me down to the rink tomorrow. I'm going to go down there and get a bunch of interviews with the guys, and looking forward to that.
Yeah,
Coach, we've got some new faces, some returning faces, a good mix, right?
Yeah, we do. We do. We have 10 returners, so that makes it nice to transition into their second year, and it's usually when they take a step in dominating a little bit more. You know, they get the first year, get their feet wet a little bit, and got that out of the way. We also selected our captains at the blue-white game, so we started that tradition. When we announced the both lineups, that we announced our captains too, so it was good.
Do we want to mention those yet, or we want to wait on that?
Sure.
All right.
No, our assistant captains will be Owen Atkins and Bryce Cooper, and our captains will be William Chaus and Lucas Whitehead.
Nice. Yeah. What? Oh, go ahead, Coach. Sorry.
No, I was going to say 3 out of the 4 returners. William Chaus is a 20-year-old from Quebec. That just has very good leadership skills, and I think he's going to do a great job with the other three.
I was going to say right away some familiar names, which is always nice to hear, and good for them. I mean, I can't imagine what it must mean like to have that C on your jersey. That's got to feel pretty good. Coach, I think as fans, we could tell you what makes a good captain. But as a coach, as a GM, to you, what makes a good captain? What made these guys get that on their jersey?
Well, it's for me, what I'm looking for is obviously there's different types of leaders, right? There's guys that lead by example. There are guys that are vocal. There are quiet leaders. There are guys that just that can motivate. For me, it's about that demand and respect from their own peers, and these four guys were, all four of them were pretty much unanimously voted by their peers, by their teammates. So it was kind of an easy decision. It wasn't too much for me. They were in line with what I was thinking, so it was good. You know, what I'm looking for from a captain is somebody that obviously that we can trust and we can rely on to motivate the guys within the locker room and can get the message across from what we're trying to get to them through the captains, right? They're the conduit between the coaches and the rest of the team. So, if somebody on the team screws up and, you know, the captains are the ones that are going to catch the brunt of it,
you know,
and they got to be willing to accept that role and responsibility and are okay with it and can relay the message themselves behind closed doors. So, I think these guys here all have the respect of everybody in that locker room. And I think we'll do a great job for us.
Speaking with GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckham. And, Coach, the 22nd is right around the corner. The Asante Outlaws are waiting. What can we expect with these this first game of the season?
Well, I think it's going to be – it should be a good, fast-paced game. I think we'll be looking to play physical. They have a couple guys that are returning that are very skilled, so we need to be on our toes. And that's what we were going. We just got off the ice in practice and starting to go through and getting in the mindset of how to play the right way on both sides of the puck and making sure that we're not going to allow anybody into the soft areas to get easy goals, and we're going to be a tough team to play against. So I think it's going to be a good, hard-fought game. And, you know, hopefully we come on top.
Yeah. We really appreciate the time, Coach. We're so excited about this season going forward. River Kings, looking at the schedule here, our first home game is November 10th against the Dells Ducks. We cannot wait to have that. But I'll be seeing you guys tomorrow. I'll be down at the rink tomorrow, and we'll talk soon, Coach.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you. One of the best, man. I love talking with him.
Yep.
Honestly, if he wasn't so darn busy, I'd have him on this show like for an hour talking
hockey. Every week, man. He'd be here.
He's lucky he's busy as he is.
Yeah,
Really be trying to. I'd be driving him crazy, I think. Do appreciate him. And we appreciate all of you supporting our Kings. Support the Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. RiverKingsHockey.com. Get your tickets. RiverKingsHockey.com. As we always like to say, is also a shout-out to the Southwood County Rec Center.
Yes.
Where our River Kings play our home games. We love the Rec Center here in Rapids and all the great people behind the scenes doing such a good job there at the rink, keeping it safe and good.
Got to one game last year, and I'm really hoping to get to a few more this year. I forgot how much I enjoyed live hockey, I got to say.
And it's one of those things. You and I know this growing up in hockey cities and areas and everything. It's been a while since you've been to it. It's like an old friend.
It is.
That you
it
haven't
really
seen
is.
In a while. As soon as you see it again, it's like, oh, I missed you.
Yep.
We haven't hung out in too long. We should do this more often.
You fall right into the old way. Yeah. It's amazing how that works.
I did this, too. I hadn't been to a game since seeing the Blackhawks in, like, 16 or 15 or some of the second cup they run that they had.
Right.
I went to a game at the United Center. So I had been a while, and I went to a game last year, and I lose everything. Every bit of any kind of like class I have or like being able to hold my tongue or filter that I use on radio, like every second of radio, gone. I am such a fan. I'm such a just like, screaming. And hockey's the only one that does that to me.
That's funny.
All the other sports,
awesome.
I get into them, but a lot of that stuff stays in my head.
Yeah.
Hockey, there's no filter.
Forget it. Just For me, it's not a professional team. The only team that would get me to sort of, because I am not a demonstrative sports guy either. I really don't. But man, if UMD, because that's what I really grew up on, was going to UMD hockey games. And
I get that.
That one, if I ended up going to, if they're playing the Badgers or whatever, I might get myself in trouble a little bit.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Speaking of local sports, taking a quick look for those that may have missed the scores from last Friday and on, looking at the games from last Friday, September 15th, the iScan beat Assumption 48-15. The Hortonville Polar Bears 27-14 over the Wisconsin Rapids Red Raiders.
I'm going to talk about that one real quick. I have to say that because I worked the game, the first half was bad. It was rough. for Raiders fans. But there was a light at the end of the tunnel because they played much better in the second half. They scored a couple of really nice touchdowns. So I'm hoping that bears well coming up here for the Raiders to play a little bit better.
Nukusa 36 over Manawa 17. Nice victory for them.
Yeah, nice.
And Auburndale over Pittsville 12-6.
That's a baseball score.
That one threw me a little bit. I had to double check that one real quick. Like, wait a minute, what?
I'm guessing there wasn't a lot of PATs in that game.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, not that kicking, not the excelling.
It's in high school. What do you expect?
Yeah, yeah. Newman beating Port Edwards 42-12. Looking ahead in the schedule, we've got some great games up and coming for us.
Oh yeah,
the Wisconsin Rapids Red Raiders taking on DC Everest 7 o'clock this Friday. That was a big one to me when I was in school.
Yeah. I think it still is pretty big. Yeah.
Remember playing in that game, and yeah, yeah. Port Edwards taking on the Marion and Tigerton. That game also Friday at 7. Stratford taking on Nakusa 7. Colby and Pittsville also on Friday at 7. The Saturday games: Assumption taking on Pacelli. That one at 11. And You got Port Edwards taking on Tri-County. That's that's coming up. Sorry, that's not for a ways.
A little bit
yet.
Farther away.
Yeah, yeah, they got a week off here, it looks like. So, how about us? What are we going to be covering? Well, right here on Wednesday's show, of course, we have the Luke Fickell Show. Mm-hmm. Join us as UW Badgers head coach. Hits these airwaves for an hour every Wednesday. Really looking forward to hearing what he has to say, especially with the last three games and the up and
really
down and all
yeah.
of that. I have really been genuinely enjoying listening to him talk about these games. He's an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, we are jam-packed with football this weekend, everybody.
Jeez, are we?
So here on WFHR on Friday, Wisconsin Badger football at Purdue. We kick off the Big Ten season in Indiana, in Lafayette. And an early start time, a pregame will start at 4 o'clock for that one right here at WFHR. On our sister station at 6:40, Lincoln High School hosting DC Everest.
Yep.
Michael's going to be calling that game. Man, Seth is going to be running the board. More on that in a moment. On Saturday, more football, as you've got Assumption hosting Pacelli over on WIRI. Mm-hmm. I will be covering that game along with Michael. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'll be running the board. Michael will be doing the call by the play-by-play for
yes,
you.
Yes, he will.
So that's going to be a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. Seth will be over here doing play
over the back fence. Yeah.
So that's going to be a fun.
That's going to be interesting. Yeah,
it's usually pretty lonely around here on the weekend.
Yeah,
so
it's going to be busy this weekend. Wow,
we're looking forward to this, and we are looking to cover more and more high school sports for you. So two notes. For one, I want to congratulate and let the audience them know that Seth is going to be our main producer for football this season.
Yeah, starting right now.
Yes,
yeah.
For the rest of the regular season, Seth is going to be our main man on the spot, making sure that our boys sound good. We appreciate that, Seth. Thank you very much for stepping up and
not
doing that.
Not a problem.
But with that being said, we are looking for people.
That's true.
If you have, I've used a tagline and went back to when this was coffee and sports.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. You got to get in the game.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you, and be honest, guys, every one of you this is the case with, but how many of you have talked and said, I could do better? Or I could call a better game, or I could make that sound better, or I should be doing this, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's time to shut up and get in the game. Get off the sideline. If you have ever been interested in running the board and producing high school athletics, or if you've ever been interested in commentating in high school athletics, please reach out to our staff. You can reach out to me first, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. Go ahead and hit me up with your resume and your and we'll meet, we'll talk, we'll see what there is. We've already gotten a bit of feedback from people on this one, and we thought we would extend to our audience and our community, see who would like to be involved, because for those that don't know, when you work here at WFHR, when you work for Civic Media, it is more than a paycheck. This job is a passion.
Mm-hmm.
This job is love for your community, love for local.
For sure.
And working with ownership that gets that and backs that.
Yep.
So one of the things we want to do is not only cover more local, but reach out to and hire more local and have more local people working with us and for us. And that takes you guys applying. So please feel free to, again, reach out.
Yeah.
james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can, of course, direct message us on social media as well. However you got to get a hold of us, go ahead and get a hold of us, and we're looking forward to talking with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to covering more and more high school sports as we go forward here. Because
we are indeed.
We we are sports hungry around here at Civic.
Yep.
We're grabbing everything we can. Packers, Bucks, everything. One of our stations is going to have
it. It's going to have something, yes.
Oh, God, do I love that. I did want to touch on the I mentioned this in passing, but the idea that Aaron Rodgers might come back this season.
Okay.
I'm curious of how you out there feel about this. For one, I don't know that it's a true, genuine possibility. His injury has never – nobody's ever come back soon, quicker than from this injury than that.
And how old is he?
39.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean
– makes it harder.
I wouldn't predict this if he was 21, let alone at this age. But that being said, I'm curious to know if people – if let's play this out, and let's say he came back week 17 or the first week of the playoffs, something like that. Would you rather that or him out the whole year?
Ooh,
I'm curious. Question, yeah. Because he comes back, and granted, anything can happen. This is sports.
Who knows?
It's 2023. You never know. But I think it's pretty realistic to think if he did come back, he's not going to be full. He's not going to be full. You know, ready to go or anything. How many practices? He's already in a scenario going into this, in the best case scenario, where it's his offense. He's the only one that knows everything.
Yeah.
Even Alan Lazard had to play catch up with some stuff. So, and he was in the same system last year as Aaron was. So now, I mean, for one, what a mess that is with that team. Because you've got that whole entire franchise based on what he wants, what he likes, his preferences. I wouldn't be surprised if the Kraft catering was all built on what Aaron wanted. And now nobody's like, well, Aaron's not even here, and we got these little sandwiches nobody likes.
No one likes. Who likes those? Yes.
It's the same thing with the offense. Like all these plays. Like I don't think Zach Wilson's a very good quarterback, but it's pretty hard to tell when he's basically doing Aaron Rodgers plays.
Yeah, and he's not Aaron Rodgers. He'd probably tell you that he's not Aaron Rodgers. So
yeah, that man, it is not.
Has this turned into a cautionary tale? I think it may have. Honestly, they did. They basically put all their eggs in one basket, on a quarterback whose prime has passed. We have to say that. You know, there are so few Tom Brady's out there. So few. And Aaron, he first of all, he never was.
Yeah.
And second of all, he's not going to start doing it now. So, yeah, I just the hype was just so overblown, you know? And that's not necessary. Well, it's not like he didn't encourage it a little bit.
He threw kerosene on that as fast as he could.
But again, it's New York, and they're crazy about this stuff. So, yeah.
I'll say I would agree with you if it wasn't even for one. Like, Tom Brady's a great one, but I think that Tom Brady, most people, even that scenario, look at it like, well, that's an outlier. Mm-hmm. But the Matthew Stafford situation, I think that's what got people to think they can pull this off and make it win and make it happen.
Okay.
What I don't understand is you have the privilege of that scenario to see the full picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won a Super Bowl. And now they're struggling to, like, I mean, keep the lights on. They're struggling to get people to that stadium. They're having a hard time putting a winning team on the field. They have no draft picks. Everything they're doing, this team won the Super Bowl a year or two ago, and up until that, they were contenders almost every year. They were in another Super Bowl. We've come to the point now where it's like you and I both have said in this conversation, I think, in today, like, well, good for the Rams.
Yeah.
How about them? They won a game. All right. Good for the Rams.
Matthew Stafford completed some passes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's where they're at now. Like,
yeah.
So that business model, I mean, it works sometimes, but even when it works, does it really? Because we can't seem to. We as sports fans certainly can't decide, and I don't think franchises can either. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to win a Super Bowl this year, all bets, everything, or are you trying to win at a consecutive rate and every year be competitive?
Wow, and that is such an interesting question. If you look at it, I mean, is it better? Well, and I guess it depends on the franchise.
Yeah.
If you ask a Yankees fan, what are they going to say? No, we want to win it every single year.
Yeah.
We don't care about getting into the playoffs. They don't care about that. But a team that doesn't get there very often, like the Baltimore Orioles, I mean, I don't think they're going to be content just, you know, because they know they're in the playoffs now.
Yeah.
They're not going to be content. They want to win, you know, the games and stuff like that. But is it one and done? Is that enough? I don't know. That's a great question.
I wonder too if it, you know, just to piggyback on what you're saying there, how much the fan base might be a part of this too, because you got an LA fan base where it's a bit newer. That was a newer bit of a franchise base there. So if you win a Super Bowl early on, well, we're in a state where they won two early on, and that made that franchise.
Yeah.
Green Bay has won since then, certainly. But had they never won another Super Bowl, I don't have any doubt in my mind the Packers will be just as popular, just as famous, and still have that team. If anything, because of those first two wins, you'd still be living on it. I know a little something about living on certain particular moment in sports history.
You and Jets fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've had to wait a lot longer, too.
That's true. Boy.
To be fair.
I've never believed in curses in sports. Never. Even growing up in a house full of Cub fans, I never did. I always thought it was silly and just low-hanging fruit to kind of, well, I need something to blame. I can't be a truce. I got to blame Bartman. You know, that kind of thing. It's always seemed really lame to me. But this season has made me question that with the Jets.
Like, is there a curse?
I've never questioned it before in my life. But I don't even know what the curse is. Well, who did they with the whole curse with the Red Sox and the Yankees? It was because they trade the Bambino and all that. I get that. What's the curse on the Jets? Who did they wrong? What gypsy did they? And I could say this as a gypsy. fortune teller did they wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
What monkey paw did they not do right? I don't get it.
I'll throw one out there. It's been since Joe Namath walked off the field with the number one, that iconic video, that iconic picture. He did something when he did that. He probably didn't even know what he was doing. Yeah. He cursed the Jets when he did that. So I don't know.
God.
I don't know if we can figure it out.
My dad is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Joe Namath fan I've ever known. And he loves that. We're talking about that moment so much. A couple of quick notes here before, as we're wrapping up the show. First, 424-2600, feel free to call up. Like Coach Paul Peckman did, he just texted me, yes, we are cursed. Coach letting us know. They are definitely.
I forgot. He's a New York guy.
That's awesome.
He had the misfortune of being a Jets fan. Oh,
thank
Coach.
You. Thank you for that, man. Coach. A couple of quick sporting notes. Michigan State has announced it has begun the process of firing head coach Mel Tucker for cause. That was bound to happen. He's already
writing was on the wall.
Yeah, he was already halfway out anyway. And Pro Bowl left guard Elgin Jenkins is expected to miss multiple weeks for the Green Bay Packers. So just another lineman going down with that team.
Oh boy,
it's going to be really hard to be able to judge Jordan Love with this line not playing that well. But you could also look at it the other way. He's been playing pretty darn well with that line being not really, and hasn't really had a standard line all season.
Nothing to be upset about. He's played really well the first two games,
And no matter what, if you want to, even if you are a Jordan Love, critiquer, and you have some critique on the young man or something, look at Zach Wilson. I'm not trying to pick on the Jets because I grew up, like I just said, up in a house where my dad kind of rooted for the Jets and stuff. The thing about that for me is when there's bus, and then there's when it's so obvious, even a person who is just literally walking past the TV glances at it and says, oh yeah, that kid done got it. It's never watched a down of football in their life.
And they can tell, ooh, that's so sad. That is so sad.
Jamarcus Russell was a good example of this to me, where I saw Jamarcus Russell going out there, and I kid you not, it was one of his last games, and his jersey can't get over his stomach. And I thought he was a lineman. No, he's a quarterback. He's got a number 12 on. He's a quarterback. Zach Wilson just, it doesn't seem like he's picking up anything. There's no, sign of improvements. There's no, show that, he's picked up this, or, at least he's improved on this. Every quarterback, even the ones that aren't playing that great like a Justin Fields or somebody like that, you could say, but his footwork has gotten better. You could tell that he's put in time and worked at this. I don't see any of that with this kid. And it's not fair to say that he hasn't been trying. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not in the locker room, and none of us are. So I don't like that kind of talk. But as far as what he's been putting on the field, it just doesn't look like it. I don't know how that ends, that story.
Very cringy. And, is it possible to fake being a good quarterback all the way to the NFL? Do you think it's possible?
Absolutely.
Really?
A 1,000%.
We've probably seen a few. I think we have. Johnny Manziel. What am I thinking, man?
Johnny Manziel, Eric Crouch. we can go down the list.
Everyone the Browns have.
Jesus, I could name you every Bear quarterback that we drafted. I could fill up the rest of the show with Cade McNowns and people like that.
Yeah,
that have hustled. Like, I mean, they just hustled the NFL. That's all this was. It was a hustle. They just got they got that big NFL paycheck and they out.
They're like, we're done. Hey.
Now they're working at a car dealership. Yeah. I mean, hey, more power to them. It's a good paycheck.
Or if you're good enough, you get a job on TV. You know, Trent Dilfer, I'm looking at you.
Yes, yes.
Although, I know, everyone, he won a Super Bowl. Yeah. Yeah, so what?
Yeah.
That wasn't that good.
It's football. Nobody wins a Super Bowl by themselves.
No, they don't.
Even Patrick Mahomes doesn't win one by himself.
No.
Almost did. Still one of the greatest performances I'll ever see is him in that Super Bowl. They lost.
Yeah,
they lost.
Which is just remarkable,
just amazing.
Man. Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
Kind of curious to see how this is going to go in week three with college football and Deion Sanders and how that is. Colorado is ranked 19th. Wisconsin is right outside the top 25. I would say about 27, 28 when I'm seeing on some lists. Mm. They'll move up. They've got some opportunities to do that. You get a nice win against Purdue here. Mm-hmm. That's going to help some. But looking at the parity right now in college football, I think the only thing that's shocking to me is that Alabama's 13, but they haven't, even with a loss, you don't see them go that far down. Like that's a little surprising to me. And the only thing that's more surprising than that is that I'm not enjoying it. I was supposed to enjoy this. We all were.
Yeah, that's true.
How many people enjoyed the Patriots losing yesterday? Come on, let's be honest.
Just say it.
It hasn't gotten old yet. I haven't gotten tired of it yet. That team was winning for way too long for me to get tired of it after a couple of seasons. I need a good 10 years of this.
Yeah. Get out of our system.
Alabama, I thought the same thing. I thought Alabama starts losing, we're going to enjoy this a little bit. Hey, the rich get pulled down a peg. Now, it's more so like, aw. Like those little engine that could Alabama just not doing it anymore.
We always bring up the topics that could take like the whole hour at the very end of the show.
Yes, yeah.
The idea of the SEC cannibalizing itself.
Yes.
Coming up here, that's a real interesting story to me. With the idea that now they've got all the good teams, what happens now?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
With the way the Big Ten is set up, especially if they're going to get rid of the divisions and everything, you've got some big names like USC and that coming in. You've still got your Rutgers, you've still got your Indiana,
Maryland's,
got a couple in the SEC.
Minnesota, I'll say.
Even Vanderbilt is starting to kind of play a little better. I think they're undefeated right now. the SEC, it's just cannibalism. That is what's going. It's only going to get bigger. Both divisions are only going to get bigger.
Is this going to hurt them for their chances? I mean, I don't know. For the that's the big question. I mean, that's why it could take so long. Is that for the playoffs?
If you can win out, it's good to be USC. It's good to be a Pac-10 team right now. It's good to be one of those teams out there because you just got to beat one or two teams and just keep pushing forward, and you could be in the college football playoff.
Yep.
Great show today. Thank you so much for joining us. Big thank you, of course, to our friends at Quality Plus Printing.
Yeah.
Big, big thank you to them getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to join us this Wednesday when Phil Hartley joins us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday on our morning show in the 8 o'clock hour. Seth, thank you for pitch hitting.
Not a problem.
We got great high school action coming up for you. First, the Badgers play at 4 on Friday, and our pregame starts then. WIRI 640, Lincoln High School hosting DC Everest. And on Saturday on WIRI, 1040 pregame, Assumption hosting Pacelli. Have a great day, everybody. We'll be back with more on the morning on Playmakers here at WFHR.